Hello and welcome to the final episode of the WAD Fam Chalk Pod. I'm Dylan Weaver.
And I've fallen down the trapdoor. Dylan finally pulled the lever.
I was debating on whether or not I wanted to set that tone from the top, and I decided, you know what? Screw it. It's got to be addressed. It's going to be weirder if we bring it up at the end.
No, yeah, 100%. I agree.
Just as we're going out the door. Bye, guys.
No, it's a very Irish thing to do, is just being like, and I'm moving across the county next weekend, just so you know. But we'll see each other.
There's a whole name for that. It's called an Irish goodbye.
Exactly. Oh man.
That's your cultural heritage, Andrew.
It is. You can't be appropriating it, Dylan.
I'm so sorry.
You Germans.
Oh man. So yeah, we gotta address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Which is, well, one, and this was not intended,
no.
But we did have a 2-week hiatus here.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
To be clear, this being the last episode was planned well before that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it off and on throughout covering the self-dubbed mega arc.
Yeah.
And when we got to the end of that, went, well, we shouldn't just end on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we opted for the Dylan's choice of Sounds Like a Mystery,
yeah.
The Andrew's choice of Poor Loser.
Yes.
And now the
both of our choices,
yes, of Broken Window, which had this episode been released 2 weeks ago, would have come out on the 5th anniversary of our show.
Oh, that's so crazy.
But you know, it got delayed 2 weeks, so now it's coming out in just a random day. But that's fine.
No, it's okay. You had 2 weeks to marinate in what 5 years of the show has done to you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now you get this to just
uh-huh.
Cork the bottle and throw it in the cellar.
You got the 2-week microdose of what the future is going to be.
Exactly. Were you happier? Did you find yourself less annoyed and preoccupied with Christian evangelicalism?
Oh man. Yeah. We'll talk some more, I think, at the end of this episode about what the future actually mm-hmm. looks like. I don't think it's going to work for us to wax poetic too much here up at the top.
Yeah.
So you good if we just jump into the context, Andrew?
Please, let's do it. Well, actually, Dylan, we can't forget what number episode.
We haven't even talked about the episode we're talking about, really.
True.
Like, said it briefly in passing there, but we are talking today about, this is the context now.
Ah.
Today's episode is episode 467 of Adventures in Odyssey. It's an episode entitled Broken Window.
It is. And boy, is that window smashed.
Do you guys like that I said it's an episode entitled like I used to when we started this show?
Aha.
And then I had to explain on air one time to Andrew what entitled meant?
Because it always meant full of yourself to me.
That's entitled. This is entitled.
Oh, boy.
Is it this better or worse if I call it out?
No, I think it's better. I was listening to the first or the second episode because I don't... We don't touch opportunity knocks.
Yeah, what a rough... I think the second episode is arguably rougher. I don't know.
We
overcorrected so extremely.
We did.
From episode one to episode two.
We did.
I was like, episode one is too structured. What if we just don't have a structure?
Yeah, what if we just kind of talk about it? No, and it was good. And, like, I mean, it felt very conversational, but it was just fun to go back and listen to what, you know, 5 years of cigarettes removed from my voice sounds like.
It also, man, what you should have done is you should have listened to Green Eyes, Yellow Tulips, because this is, so the episode we're talking about today, Broken Window, is the second Mitch episode
mm-hmm.
after his introduction on Green Eyes, Yellow Tulips, which was the 5th episode we covered. If we had been covering Odyssey chronologically, or if we had covered this episode like in the original chronology, this would have been our 6th episode of the show.
Honestly, it feels like a missed opportunity only because I love this episode so much.
Yeah.
But I do, I think I remember us talking about it and being like, we'll just cover it later when it makes sense.
Yeah, it's the thing where, and like, I feel this about a couple, like, Katrina episodes that we didn't cover, and there's, like, two Mitch episodes we didn't cover, this being one of them, and there's, like, one Tasha episode we haven't covered.
Yeah.
Like, there are some things that it's, like, does it feed the overall arc we're covering? No. But is it weird that we didn't cover that episode because we've covered all the ones surrounding it? Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and some of them, like this episode in particular, I feel is like kind of an iconic episode of Odyssey because they don't do a whole lot similar to this after the fact.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some episodes that it feels like, oh yeah, that, like,
Castles and Cauldrons.
Well, no, I was gonna say just like episodes where I'm like, if I was replotting out like a full arc,
yeah,
I would have, like, I probably would have included Recollections when we did Blackard, and I definitely would have included Connie the Counselor.
Yeah,
but like we didn't because they weren't in the like official listing, and so we skipped over them. And like that problem persists because, like, the reality is, like, can only prep so much for this show.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so it's fun to get to loop back to this one all these years later. When we were talking about how we wanted to bring this to a close, we hit upon the idea pretty quickly of covering Broken Window, both because it is like an iconic episode on its own, but also because it's where we began.
Yeah, we started in this era of the show. We started with Paul Herlinger and with these kids and everything, and yeah, it felt like the best way to tie a bow on this era of the show, to circle back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Dylan,
who wrote
this episode?
Oh, it's written by Kathy Buchanan, at the time Kathy Wierenga, and directed by John Fornoff, at the time John Beebe. It was just a thing where it's like I wrote down Kathy Buchanan and John Fornoff in my notes.
Yeah.
And then as I'm like, as the credits were playing in the background, as I was like tidying things up, I was like, Kathy Wierenga and John Beebe. And I was like, oh, right. They were both going by different names at this time. See, we've all grown.
Yeah, exactly. Some of us have even gotten married. Not me or Dylan, but,
right.
But some of us.
Probably some of you listeners.
Yeah, yeah. Mom. Did you get married again?
Oh, man. This episode first aired March 24th of 2001, which puts it exactly 1 month after Green Eyes and Yellow Tulips. Did you remember that Green Eyes, Yellow Tulips had an and in the middle? Because I didn't.
No, I thought it was a comma.
I did too. It's not. It's Green Eyes and Yellow Tulips. But...
damn.
I know.
Well, because I was going to suggest we do Broken Window, comma, Broken Hearts for this episode.
I feel like there are other of the, like, comma episodes of Odyssey, maybe even that we've covered. So yeah. It feels like, yeah, like that. Also, I guess for our own, for the meta context, this is our 235th episode of, like, full episode coverage that we've done.
Wow.
So it will come out as episode 233, but that's because we had two Christmas bonuses that were not numbered.
Because they presents.
Because we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, well, and you know what? Love does not keep track of...
keeps no record of wrongs.
Yeah. And well,
yes, yeah, so if you love us, Shock Squad, you won't send emails of correction.
I was more going on the angle of love is not going to count this as anything because it's a gift.
Aw.
That was my... but no, definitely please don't come at me. I'm very fragile as is. I will die.
Yeah. Oh, man.
If you'd like to be my 14th reason, email me it.
No. I have fun cast context.
Oh, really? Because
we don't do that too often when we're doing one-offs, and especially, like, we've already covered, like, there are no characters in this episode we haven't talked about before, but I don't believe we have talked about either Sarah or Alex since we've been doing cast context. And if we have, it's too far ago. Yeah, there was stuff that I didn't necessarily remember. But it's Travis Tedford who plays Alex. And he was in both The Little Rascals, and he voiced all, or at least a portion of the, like, young kid ants in A Bug's Life.
Interesting. Yeah. Love that for him.
And then Scarlett Pomers is Sarah. Mm-hmm. She was a regular on Star Trek Voyager.
Okay.
And part of the main cast on Reba.
That's why her voice sounds familiar.
Did you watch Reba?
I watch Reba every morning at my new job.
Oh.
All of the adults watch it.
Oh, wow.
So I hear her voice all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. She's...
Is she the daughter?
Is there only one daughter?
Yes.
Then yes.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, yes. Blondish or whatever.
She's got red hair.
Yeah. I think it's like strawberry.
Okay. But yeah, that's good stuff
that's
right
so
there. Yeah,
funny.
She's definitely, she plays Reba's daughter. So yeah.
What an icon. Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I might be able to get Alyssa to listen to this episode then. She does like Reba.
Okay. I know that it exists. she hasn't acted, like neither of them have acted since they were kids.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But the other really fun bit is that they were both in a movie together. A family/kids movie that came out in 1988 called Slappy and the Stinkers.
What?
Which stars
Slappy
a gang of five kids. I believe they are both part of this gang, but maybe they're just on the fringes.
Naturally.
And that movie also starred B.D. Wong.
Who's that?
I know him as playing like the main villain in Mr. Robot.
Oh, okay.
But he's also been in like other stuff. But it was just a wild thing to be like, oh yes.
And of course he's here too.
Right. Like he's the above the title name in that movie.
Yeah. What?
And yeah. And that's a movie. So maybe we end the show and then we just do 100 episodes on Slappy and the Stinkers.
Oh, he's in Jurassic Park.
No. Didn't know it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Oh, he's in the new ones. Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen him.
Yeah, we have been over this.
Anyways, B.D. Wong has nothing to do with the episode we're talking about, but
no.
Know, he was in a movie with, you know.
But he's in one of your favorite TV shows.
Sure.
I mean, listen, if I know one thing about Dylan, it's that he has seen all of Mr. Robot at least once.
Yep, I have seen most of it twice, some of it more than that,
really?
But all of it once.
Okay.
It is a very good show.
Yeah, that is one. That and The Americans are like dramas that I missed when they came out that I really know that I would enjoy watching, but I just haven't done it yet, so.
Yeah. It is.
It's my version of Breaking Bad Season 5. Actually, wait, is it Season 6 the one that you haven't seen?
I have seen all of Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad only has
five seasons, but yes, I haven't seen the last season of Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul, yes.
But I finished all of Barry.
Proud of you. Good job. And just in time for the new season of Sex Education.
Yes.
It's...
I don't think I'm going to watch.
I will report back when I'm finished with it. There are parts of it that are fun and feel kind of vintage, and there are parts of it that are like... Egh.
Yeah, I didn't love the...
The previous season?
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither. And it feels like it's just kind of building off that to tie the knot, which is...
Okay, is this the final season
yeah.
of Sex Education? Okay. Yeah. So there's maybe part of me that would watch it for completionist's sake, but, like, to be frank, it's not going to happen before Better Call Saul does.
Amen. I mean, there's only 8 episodes. I'm pretty sure there's 10 or 12 of Better Call Saul, so...
Andrew... It's not going to happen before Saul does. If it was a 30, if it was a half hour show, it might happen before Saul. But at a 45 minute show,
no,
it's not
no,
happening
I think they're
before.
Like 50 minute to an hour episodes.
Yes,
so.
And that's, I have not watched like an hour. Well, no, I did. I watched Maisel. I finished Maisel. Mm-hmm. That was like the last hour long show I finished. Anyways, this is nothing to do with the episode.
No, we should get into it. Yeah. It's quite fantastic.
I think this is the point where we roll the promo.
Roll it.
Court is in session at Wit's End, and the judge is Connie Kendall. On the next Adventures in Odyssey, someone is guilty of breaking a window, and the accusations are flying. Alex is sure it was Rodney Rathbone, bent on revenge against Wit for throwing him out of the soda shop. But Rodney's just as certain that Alex is the culprit, so Wit takes the matter to court. Don't miss the verdict on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
No notes. Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
Sets the mood. I mean, I will say it does just kind of give you the whole plot of the episode, which is fair. But it is, yeah, no, it's fantastic. As far as promos to go out on, good golly, Miss Molly. That's about as good as it gets. Dramatic, funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Informative.
It's a good episode. So
this episode begins with a Connie intro, which is nice. It does. AF. We haven't had one of those in a while.
Yep.
And we have Alex and Sarah outside Wit's End. Sarah, yes, is...
Well, so it starts with the Connie intro that goes into one of the worst put-together teasers.
Yeah.
I feel like I just last week we were talking about how great the teasers are and how much fun it must be to put them together. And this one was just kind of like, oh.
It feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I feel like they just took some key lines but didn't cut it together in a fun way.
No,
they just kind of put a line after another line.
Yeah definitely kind of a letdown. One of the few not high notes for this episode, I will say.
But
as I mentioned, Alex and Sarah are outside of the side of Wit's End, and Sarah comes up on Alex hiding in a bush. At least it sounds like he's in a bush.
So he's originally sitting on a bench, and then he jumps into a bush.
Oh, he jumps into a bush when Rodney comes by, right?
Yeah. Correct. But yeah, he's sitting on his baseball bat on a bench that's like behind Wit's End.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah's coming over. She says it's the fastest way to get there from her house. It's like a shortcut or something.
Yep.
Because Alex is questioning why she's coming in through the rear entrance of Wit's End.
Sure. But why is he sitting there behind there on sitting on top of a baseball bat, you know?
Wondering where it is.
Yep.
I tend to know where large cylinders are when I'm sitting on them, but
That seems like that's a you specific thing, Andrew. Yeah, I don't know if that's generally applicable.
I don't think I can generalize that experience.
Yeah. I have a very unsensitive butt. Is that what I think I'm just cutting that. So Alex then, right, Rodney walks by and Alex like jumps into the bush.
Just yeets himself. There's no like, there's no verbal confirmation of like, why did you just jump in this bush? But you just hear it.
Well, and then, right. And then it's explained that the day before accidentally threw a French fry at Rodney.
How does one do that?
You're gesticulating wildly with your hands while holding a French fry. It gets tossed. Also, confirmation, Wit's End has French fries.
Good to know. I mean, it makes sense if they have pizza, I guess. But does that imply the existence of Wit's End burgers as well?
Mm. I feel like we might have gotten Wit's End burgers confirmed in another episode.
I think he's made burgers for other things, like outside. Mm. Wasn't there like a whole thing with Mr. Washington where they do burgers together?
Possibly. Here's my thing, though. I think it does imply the existence of a Wit's End cheese fry pie, which I would love to try.
Ooh, that does sound fantastic.
You want to eat a cheese fry pie after this, Andrew? It's been so long.
What is cheese fry pie?
Oh, you don't know about cheese fry pie?
I mean, is that just cheesy French fries?
No, cheese fry pie is a pizza from Metro Express that has French fries and bacon on the pizza. And it was like a staple all through like high school that like
I never knew that. No. So Metro has a bunch. Metro's local pizza joint has a lot of really cool stuff. They did like barbecue pizza and stuff, which I always loved.
Yeah. I feel like that, like cheese fry pie was a big, like we grab this after church. Mm-hmm. We go to like someone's house. We play Battlefront. We eat cheese fry pie.
Oh, so fun. Love that. No, no, never had it. Not once in my life.
Well, Andrew, what are you doing right after this?
Getting cheese fry pie, it sounds like.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought we were already having pumpkin bread, but
you know,
I suppose both.
Por que no los dos? So then, right. So Rodney got the French fry thrown at him, but it didn't actually land. It didn't hit Rodney. It instead landed in his chocolate milkshake, which set him off. He yelled at Alex. They got into, I don't know that it was a fight. He just yelled at Alex a bunch, which then got him ejected from Wits End. And that was, you know, tragic. Mm-hmm. He got kicked out.
Shook
he
his
was
fist
mad.
Angrily at the door.
Yep. He told Wit that he's going to get him back. You know, you'll pay for this, Mr. Whitaker.
Eat rocks.
Et cetera. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Why would you be upset if a French fry landed in your milkshake? Because isn't that like the thing that you do with French fries and milkshakes is you dip them in...
That sounds incredibly gross.
You've never... No. People don't do that, right?
I know people who do that. Okay. It is still... It does not appeal.
It's not a thing that I do religiously, but I don't hate it.
If it's someone else's French fry...
True.
That just lands in your milkshake... Potentially they bit it. Potentially it's got ketchup on it.
Oh, if there's ketchup, that's a no-go. Because ketchup and vanilla, not a good combo.
And also, it's a chocolate milkshake.
True.
Ketchup and chocolate, a great combo.
Yeah.
We all know.
Chocolate goes with everything.
And also, this is Rodney Rathbone we're talking about.
Fair.
It feels like just about anything would set Rodney off.
Yeah.
And well, who knows? Maybe it was a French fry with like macadamia oil.
Ah, yeah, maybe that's it. It was a health safety concern.
Sarah then informs Alex that there is a broken window at Wits End. There's glass outside the front window, and Alex is like, "Oh, Rodney must have broke it because of all this." That's classic Bones. Like,
yeah,
that's how they roll. And so
Sarah's like, well, we didn't see it happen. And she's like, well, this is Rodney Rathbone we're talking about.
Obviously, like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real here for a second.
Which, as a child listening to it, 100% agreed.
Yeah. We judge a book. We judge Rodney by his cover.
Because that's how he's written. I'm sorry.
And so
so they go into Wits End and Alex and Sarah accuse Rodney to Connie. Connie's like freaking out because she's like, oh my gosh, this window just broke. And then in walks Rodney and everything gets really quiet and they're like, what's going on? And they're like, why'd you break the window? And he's like, I didn't break no windows.
Right, because when Alex and Sarah don't tell Connie that it's conjecture at all, they just tell her like, hey, Rodney broke the window.
No, exactly. As somebody who knew, well, like, obviously I remembered how this episode goes and everything, I was very careful to listen to the wording that everybody was using while they were accusing people and, like, how people were responding, especially Wit. Like, how does he slide so quickly under the radar throughout all of this?
Because he's barely in it.
That's true. That is true.
He basically,
mostly just to pawn off his responsibility.
Yep. And so, yeah, there's some great, like, layered audio here of them all, like, yelling at Wit and telling him what is going on. And I would, like, love the, like, isolated audio tracks for all that overlapping dialogue.
Oh,
because
my gosh,
it's, like, it's mixed to such an extent that, like, even on multiple listens, I couldn't, like, really follow any one person's thing that they were saying. But it's well done. And, like, props to Rob Jorgensen for that. And then it cuts in with Wit saying, well, there's only one way to settle this. We're going to court.
Yeah.
And then a hard-boiled, like, detective audio comes in.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yep. And, Connie gets named the judge.
She's given a meat mallet and a choir robe.
Yep. She's a judge with a red robe.
Presumably she's behind the cash register. Like, where do you think the judge is?
Oh, I thought that this was actually taking place in the little theater.
Ah, that would make sense. Like, on the stage and everything.
Correct,
yeah,
I would assume.
That does make sense.
But yeah, she also has a conversation here with Wit about that Mitch has multiple times now had to cancel and reschedule their dinner plans. This is once again, like, we're coming off of they just met.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last time we saw them was their meet cute. And they don't know what this relationship is by any means at this point, but they've been planning on dinner. Mitch asked Connie and then keeps having to cancel or reschedule because stuff's coming up at work.
Mm-hmm.
Hint, hint.
Problem.
Uh-huh,
demons
uh-huh.
to demons. eyebrows. You know.
yeah. You know, he's just busy with Novacom.
Demons.
And so, yeah, he, and then, like, the night previous, she went to the restaurant.
Yeah.
And waited for an hour, and he never showed up.
Stood her up, didn't call, no nothing. She is in fits.
Yep, and she's like, look, if he didn't want to go out with me, why did he ask me in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Alex and Sarah are like, wait, you guys are going, like, you guys were going on a date?
Yeah.
And they do the delightful Connie and Mitch sitting in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
And she said, no, we were just talking.
Connie and Mitch sitting in a tree. T-I-L-K-I-N-G.
She's like, we're not in a tree, we're in a booth.
Connie and Mitch sitting in a booth.
And it's like, okay, guys, you need to stop. You need to stop. And they're... And it's, we're just practicing our spelling.
Yeah.
S-P-L-L. S-P-I.
Yeah. It's burned in my brain. It's so funny.
Yes, I love it.
The chemistry between Alex and Sarah there is just perfect.
Yes. They're doing like annoying kid stuff so well. It very nicely establishes like the strong distance we're at this point between like Connie and the kids.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it's like, especially in stuff that we were covering recently where that line is like really blurry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we are now
so young,
like, right. It's now like, she is out of high school. Like, mm-hmm. there is a clear, these kids are young. Like, there is a clear divide between mm-hmm. her and them. And it's really fun.
Yeah. You get the little bit of the different lens for their interactions. We did gloss over the fact that Rodney has an Uncle Louie who is in prison for another 6 weeks.
It's true.
Which is very important.
Yeah, right. Because Rodney's like, I can't find a lawyer. My Uncle Louie's in prison.
Yeah, exactly. So the question is, does he go by Slipping Louie or Uncle Jimmy?
Great. Good work.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yep. I had to circle back for that joke.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
It was totally worth it.
For sure. And then, right after Connie leaves to go change into her red robe, Mitch walks in and Wit hires him right on the spot as a bailiff.
Yeah. Incredible. My note for Mitch is enter Mitch. All caps, so dreamy, oh my, I missed you, sweet prince.
Mm.
So, that...
Amen. My other note for Mitch is Steve Burns hasn't quite figured out his Mitch voice.
No, not at all, really. It just kind of sounds like he's talking.
like, it's not, it's almost there, but I think he's also working really hard to differentiate him from Rodney.
Yeah.
Which is understandable, because it is the wild thing where it's like both episodes that he has been in at this point have also had Rodney.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, and it's totally excusable. Like, we know where his voice goes, but it was just a thing where it's like, wow, that doesn't really sound like Mitch. I mean, it kind of does, but.
No, but yeah. No, it's fantastic.
He gets hired as the bailiff.
Yep. And then Connie and Mitch are, I guess, this would indicate they're in the theater, because it kind of sounds like they're talking behind the curtain before going on stage.
Yes. Yeah.
And Connie's like, don't you have anything that you want to say to me? And Mitch is like, no. Like, what's going on? Connie's like, oh, but Well, we better get out there because, you know, she's trying to get him to apologize, but he's not picking it up.
Yep. And then Mitch bounces out to stage on with a tuba. And
yeah. yeah.
That was my all right, better get on out there joke. It wasn't good, but it did happen.
Proud of you. So this is when we get Connie using the raw meat mallet and just getting real excited, like order in the court and smacking it, you know, the overzealous judge bit, which is always fun. And they're trying to decide who the defendant and who the plaintiff is, and they both say I am, he is at the same time in regards to both roles. So it's funny. And then Rodney takes the stand and leads off with, yes, Your Honory, and, Connie corrects him, but he will continue to call her Your Honory for the remainder of the episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's Rodney. What do you want from him?
No, it's incredible.
And yes, they do all right, who's the defendant? And they both simultaneously say, I am.
Yeah.
And then, all right, then who's the accuser? He is. It's good. But yeah, and Rodney calls himself to the stand.
Yeah. This episode, I will say, like, there's so many instances of jokes where there's two characters saying the same thing at the same time.
Yes.
Like, I don't necessarily feel like it's...
Yes.
Yeah. I don't feel like they're beating a dead horse by any means, but it just is funny. And because they're in this small environment, it makes sense that they'd be talking over each other a lot. So it's fun.
Yeah. And we...
Rodney calls Rodney to the stand.
And we get him playing both sides initially.
Running back and forth. Uh-huh. And then he
like,
forgets
I love
the question.
The physicality. And the, can you repeat the question to himself?
Yes, of course. Well, and I, and then Connie interrupts him, like
just tell us your side of the story, Rodney.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he reveals that he just showed up at the park, and then he saw Alex with the baseball bat earlier playing baseball in front of the park.
Difficult to do on your own, tossing a baseball to
and
you,
swinging and, it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've done it, but yeah, it's not like not fun and easy.
No,
but yeah, he was doing that though, and then Rodney breaks out his briefcase.
Yep.
Which, well,
is
one, he whips
glass.
Out the bat and, like, swings it around. And they're like, all right, Rodney, put down the bat.
Yeah,
and then he opens up a briefcase that is full of glass. But he reveals that the glass has rounded edges, not jagged edges. Mm-hmm. And if you were to break it with a rock, as Alex is describing...
As this dweeb claims...
That's right.
Your Honor. Objection.
We all object to you being a dweeb too, Alex.
But if the shoe fits.
Sustained. No referring to him as a dweeb.
Yeah. This is... Steve Burns is just laying it on so thick as Rodney here with, like... Especially him, you know, playing the defendant and the lawyer thing. Like, it is very shades of Better Call Saul in some ways that I think is fun. And there's no way that, I mean, well, if we had covered this episode chronologically when we had first started, I wouldn't have seen Better Call Saul.
Wow. So was maybe, that true? I had seen it and you hadn't when we started.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't watch Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul till after COVID hit. So
that's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It was behind the times.
He
just would round.
Right. And then Alex gets his chance to cross-examine, and he asks him about the day before.
Yeah.
And then he asks, you know, did you have any, like, inclination towards, like, harming Mr. Whitaker after this? Or did you plot your revenge? Or you think about revenge at all? And Rodney's like, well, yeah, of course. And he's like, great, no more questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is just, it's so fun.
It's
as
great.
Someone who, right, we've talked about before on the show, but like, I love a courtroom drama, and I love a goofy one.
Mm-hmm. No, and this is, like, the epitome of that, in my opinion. The gold standard, if you will. So then Rodney calls Mitch as his character witness, and Mitch is like, what are you doing? And Rodney's like, you don't know me. Full stop.
Yep. Well, so before this, we have Whit getting called to the stand, and we...
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine, because it kind of just gets like, there's not much there.
Yeah. He's standing in front of the window when it breaks.
But then we get, yes, Rodney calling Mitch, whatever your last name is, to the stand, which is a great joke because Mitch is his last name. And also, right, they just want the, hey, we're going to have Steve Burns play off of himself for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fun. And I was hoping there would be something about, like, because famously in the Bart Tom debate, Walker Edmondson is switching back Rick and Morty style, like, in the moment.
Okay.
And I wanted to see if I could find something about that with Steve Burns. It's unclear. He very well, I would probably guess that he's not doing that, because that feels like that would be
way harder.
Yes. Like an unnecessary challenge.
Yeah.
But regardless, right, they get to have the fun thing of him doing it, and then he's calling him as a character witness.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know you. All I know about you is like that you like started a riot and then went to jail for that. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize Rodney went to jail over green eyes and yellow tulips.
Yeah, no, he gets because him and his dad both go to prison, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing where Bart gets community service?
Yeah, maybe. I forget. It's been a long time. It's been five years. And so there's this whole there's this whole bit where Rodney's like, yeah, but like I owned it at that point. He's like, yeah, but you were caught. And and Rodney's like, yeah, but I'm caught now.
Yeah.
So you know that I'm a person who, if I was caught, would own that I had done something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you don't not know. And then I wrote down, so this is what he says. If you don't not know, then you do know. And if you know the answer isn't no, then you know there's no way you can know I broke the window. No further questions.
It's good.
That was my, I need to get this word for word. It took me about three listen throughs to make sure I got the right nose.
I didn't even want to put in that effort.
Oh, no.
You're a better man than me.
When something makes me laugh that hard, you know. Gotta spread the joy.
You know?
I don't know. I don't not know. Now, don't start that again.
Alex cross-examines Mitch, and he's just like, did you happen to like drive by Wit's End this morning by any chance? And Mitch is like, yes, in fact I did. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, what'd you see? And he's like, well, I saw Sarah out in front of Wit's End juggling.
Yeah, I waved, but she didn't wave back. Now that I think of it, I don't see many waving jugglers.
Yep. And that was at 9 a.m
yeah.
And Alex is like, wait, that's before Sarah told me, like, that means Sarah was, like, in front of Wit's End before the window was broken.
Yeah, and before I got there.
But she then came up from behind. What gives? And also, she knew about the broken window without ever going around to the front of the building. So, like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she made the comment while we were still on the side. Maybe Sarah's to blame.
Yeah.
And it is, I think, a struggle of this episode of, like, it gets a little too caught up in the location without it being super well established because it's audio.
Yeah,
like some of the like physical space stuff for like when you would have seen stuff is a little tough, but you know that's all right.
That's all right, because as a kid you don't really care.
Yeah,
they're spelling out the consequences enough for you so that you can figure out the problem.
Correct. So yeah, it's at this point then, right? So they get to do their closing arguments, and you know, Alex throws out, maybe it's Sarah, maybe it's Rodney, but it's definitely not me.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah brings up that that she brings up like Alex's baseball bat. Like, why was he sitting on a baseball bat behind Wit's End?
He was
like, maybe
super sus.
Right. He was also suspicious. Also, like, my juggling balls don't, like, do that much damage. Watch as I throw one at a glass pitcher, and then it just
explodes,
yep,
seemingly.
And she's like, yeah, but window glass is way harder than that, which, fair.
Yeah, true. I have hit so many windows in my life with various balls and objects and things, and I've never broken one. That's not true. That was with my hands, though. It wasn't... That wasn't because
of... You just punched a glass window?
No, actually, I was breaking into LBC when COVID hit to get one of my friend's medications who was locked... It was locked in his dorm room, but he couldn't get in the front door, so we tried to get in through the window, and we were pulling on it, and then the glass pane just bent enough that it just shattered, and then we left!
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, my one moment of vandalism in my life, I will say.
Trying to get your friend his meds during COVID.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, he had Crohn's, so, you know,
yeah.
It's pretty serious.
No, I'm saying, like, I love that your one act of vandalism was in service of others.
Yeah, I mean, that feels on brand. I'm one to disregard rules if I have a way to justify it. Ain't nothing I love more than disregarding rules.
Mm. Oh, man. Rodney then makes his closing statement where he just breaks out in tears and pleads that they not accuse him.
Don't send me to jail.
Yep. So we adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
Connie goes back to make her deliberation.
No, she goes to recess. And and Rodney says, oh, yeah, well, when the going gets tough, the tough go out and play on the swings. Which is important.
I forgot to me. About that. No, that is good. Thank you for dragging me back towards that.
It's a core memory. It's really in there.
Oh man. And so yeah, we've got Connie. Then the court reconvenes, and Connie goes down the list and is like, "I find Alex not guilty. I find Sarah." Not guilty. I find, or the court finds Rodney Rathbone not guilty.
Really?
The court finds
so hot.
John Avery Whittaker guilty. Bum, bum,
bum. Dramatics.
And Wit's like, oh yeah, totally, it was me.
Mm-hmm.
What happened here? How'd you figure it out? And she's like, well, the glass was outside of Wit's End, and you were the only one in the building.
Yeah.
So the glass is always going to break outwards, not inwards. Or, yeah, it's always, yeah.
Break inwards, not outwards, if the object's coming from the outside. Also, yeah. Wit would have known if he got hit with a juggling ball, a baseball, or a rock, because he was in front of the window.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, I'll totally own it.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. I just like was getting carried away with my broom handle.
Yeah.
He was doing some dancing or something with it and just swung it a little too hard. Went for too much of a dip, you know,
mm-hmm. And
it just went right through the window.
Yeah. That's a rough day though. When you're just having a good old time like that and the shenanigans get out of hand.
Mm-hmm. And
poor Wit.
Yeah, and Connie asks Wit if he would like to play press charges against
himself. Yeah.
And so then they have like a little conversation afterwards where it's like, okay, but then why did Sarah lie? And she's like, well, I had forgotten, like, I was out here practicing juggling. I then forgot that I had to feed my dog. So I ran home. And when I came back, I saw it and I was worried that people were going to accuse me of breaking it because I had been out there juggling. And Alex is like, yeah, I was like playing baseball and I did hit the window with the ball, but I heard it break later, and I thought it was a delayed reaction.
When I tell you, every time I have hit a window with the ball, I think about that line and the potential that it could just later shatter.
Oh boy.
It has permanently scarred me in certain ways.
Stop hitting windows with balls.
It's, you know, if I was better at sports, then it would be a lot easier.
Sure. Fair enough. This also underlines the fact that Rodney, despite, they all accused each other, but Rodney mm-hmm. was the only one who didn't, like, lie or try and, like, obscure
yeah.
evidence.
No, yeah.
And I just think that that's, like, he's also the only one who did real detective work with his whole round glass thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's good stuff.
He was also the only one who sounded genuinely surprised that he was innocent. It's like, really?
Yeah, because Rodney is always going to get blamed for bad yeah, stuff in Odyssey. And he's done some terrible stuff, and he's about to do more. And, like, yeah, it's just...
But today was not his day.
No. Oh, this time around, Rodney actually did the right thing.
Well, and when he gets caught, he admits it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, then we get our little... wrap-up conversation between Connie and Mitch, wherein Mitch is still, like, dumbfounded by why Connie's so mad, and I'm just like, oh, Mitch, like, don't tell me you just completely forgot.
Yeah.
But no, he's dumbfounded because their date is that night, Saturday.
Yeah.
Not the previous night.
Friday. And yep. then we get the lovely Connie being like, because today's Saturday, and that's when we did it, so yesterday is Friday. Uh-huh. Okay.
And Mitch is just confused, and they apparently never clear the air nope. on what had been going down.
Nope.
But we know that Mitch is a good guy.
Yeah. Well, and that Mitch didn't intentionally neglect her, which right. is a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, especially right, because this is episode 2 with Mitch,
mm-hmm.
and it's Connie's first real love interest.
Yeah.
And it's like, we really gotta, like, sell... you the audience on this, and
on
they do
this guy. Yeah,
they do such a good job.
No, they do an incredible job.
He's got a lot
episode.
Of charm, and yeah, then he's like, you know, he's like, yeah, so I'll come by and pick you up tonight for our date.
I'll argue that this is Mitch at his best. Honestly,
interesting,
because I don't think that we get any of the later stuff if we don't see Mitch come into Wit's End and play along with the kids and Connie like he does here.
Sure, sure. I like him. I like the Candid Conversations episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's on. Fair. I feel like that establishes that as well.
True.
And, like, obviously, like, best Mitch is, you know, Happy the Giraffe. Like,
true.
That's
true.
My favorite Mitch.
True.
But, you know.
No, yeah. And he is a great, yeah, he's a great bachelor and everything. But just, I think that, like, this definitely sells the audience on the character a lot because you see him playing along with all of the normal hijinks of Wit's End so seamlessly.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is fun.
It is. It is fun. It makes him just, like, instantly a part of this world.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's going to pick her up for a date, to which Alex says, D-A-Y-T. And then we end the episode.
Yeah, we get Chris's outro about mm-hmm. making assumptions without complete context.
Yes.
And knowing all the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And
the lesson that I famously was taught through Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. You lack discernment. Oh, wait. That's the line, right?
I think we've talked about this on the show, maybe not, but the whole thing is like when Luke goes to see Yoda and he doesn't realize that it's actually Yoda,
yeah.
And my dad turned to me and was like, and that's why we don't make assumptions.
No, I don't remember you telling me this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's incredible.
This is a core memory for me.
First time watching Empire Strikes Back, Luke thinks that this little green goblet is nobody, and your dad's like, don't be racist, kid.
Yeah. And I've got a little Lego diorama of that scene right there to remind me, you know?
That's anti-racism at its finest, I will say.
I don't think you can say that.
No, as a white person, I certainly am not the judge.
That's right here. You heard it here first, folks. On our last episode of the show, Andrew has come out as white. I know his last name is Acebo, and that may have misled some of you.
Quite white. Some might say unbearably.
Nice.
Everything, yeah. I'm just going to go right into my final thoughts. I love this episode. I thought it was so fun. I wish they did more court stuff. Because this is like you could plug and play this with any kids from any era, and yeah, it would be good and fun.
There is another, like, court at Wit's End episode.
Didn't we cover it?
No, we didn't. Rydell
thing, or no?
No, it's an earlier one. Episode 182, The Scales of Justice.
Okay.
That's, yeah, with a different batch of kids. It's in the It All Started When episode. It's
okay.
Weirdly, it's also Rodney.
Interesting.
It's the episode that sets up Green Ring. Because it's the $2,000 in counterfeit money by Gower's Field.
Yeah.
But there's a plane crash out near Gower's Field.
Strange things are going awry. And I don't know what it is.
Yep. So.
Oh, yeah. Man.
But that, in that episode, Connie is the bailiff and Eugene is the judge. So.
Love it.
You know. We could do that someday if we wanted to. There are so many episodes we could cover, mm-hmm. but we're not gonna because we're tired of you guys.
That's exactly it.
Uh-huh. 'Cause we hate you. I liked this episode a lot. It was charming more than I was like, oh man, this is great Odyssey.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Like, there are, no,
yeah.
I think both of the previous episodes we covered, I like more than this one.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that this episode for me was just so, it does so much for the characters in the Novacom saga, and the humor is so on point, despite not having, like, a lot of the humorous characters in it.
Yeah.
That I think is, yeah, I just thought it was really fun. Also, it was on the other side of the Snow Day cassette, so... Every time I listen to that, I listen to this. So they're very closely linked in my heart as far as affection is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The previous episode also had Alex and Rodney in it because it was Snow Day.
Mm-hmm. But. Maybe it was maybe the macadamia nuts were on the fries.
Yeah.
Oh,
also, for some reason, if you haven't listened to this episode, it is one of the ones that they put out for free. So if you would like to.
Please do.
Go back and... Give it a listen. But it was really glad to get to talk about this, especially at the end of the pod.
Yeah. Do you what do you want to talk about in regards to that? Like, where you...
I'll just go over some logistics and whatever else, because that tends to be my thing. You can bring the emotion, I'll bring the logistics.
Sounds good.
Yeah, like we said, I mean, we've done this for 5 years, and more or less every week throughout that 5 year period, and it's really weird to be stepping away from it.
Super weird.
We both have stuff going on that's eating into more time, and also just could use a break to kind of do some recalibration and whatever. So this is not necessarily the last episode of the podcast, but it's the last, like, regularly scheduled episode, even though it's coming out like 2 weeks late. But like, the point being, like, hey, like, stay subscribed to the feed. Like, you might get episodes now and then
that
pop up. There are a bunch of guests who we would like to have on for the first time or bring back. There's some stuff that I would love to, like, close out, like doing the final three Kelly episodes with Arthur.
Yep.
There's just, like...
Still haven't talked about the Mortal Coil.
Uh-huh. And we never will.
Castles and Cauldrons as well.
Yeah. But, like, there's a lot of stuff that floats out there that we could easily... sit down in front of mics and talk about Andrew and I still care deeply for each other, and we still like doing this thing.
Yeah.
It feels like it's time to bring it to an end.
This era of it.
Yeah. You know? And I wanna be careful, because it's right. It's like, it's both the right. Like, we're not saying there will never be another episode, but I also don't want expectations to be like, oh man, this is just a break, and then they're gonna come back,
and then it's gonna be full-fledged like it was before.
Because yeah, so just know that like episodes will continue, like if and when they come out, they will release on Tuesdays at 4 a.m. Eastern,
yeah,
same as they always have. And yeah, and we reserve the right to do that from time to time, or maybe we do stuff in this feed that is not Odyssey, at some point as well. There's definite possibility there. This show, like as we know it, is done. Like, it's not gonna be a thing that we come together and do every week. I am so thankful for all of you who have listened, and just what this show has meant over the years to the like nearly 50 people who have left us reviews on like Apple Podcasts, the people who have, you know, who have left star ratings on Spotify or other platforms, the people who have been responding to my dumb questions on Spotify, which if you were unaware of, Spotify now has like a weird like poll feature that you can put out with an episode, where you can respond, and then I, as the owner of the feed, can like publish those responses, which is something that I have been doing over the past like few months. So if you are not someone who listens on Spotify, and good, you shouldn't be. It's a bad podcast platform, but you can totally jump in there and reply to some of the prompts I've thrown out, because it's been a fun thing, kind of an Easter egg for the people who are there.
Yeah,
it's been fun hearing from some of you through that. Yeah. Also, just like right, shout out to like Gracie of the blog, who like, you know, was kind of our original break into being
She's married
more
now.
On.
Crazy.
Like there we. We were talking earlier in this episode about people who got married during the run of this show.
Yeah.
There's one of them.
There you go.
So much appreciation for her and for other people who, like, came in the early days when we were still figuring this out and didn't know what it was going to be. You know, shout out to Michael Lefavor on the Odyssey Scoopcast for like putting us in the rundown, and for the people who maintained our page on the wiki up until 2 years ago. and like everyone who has sent an email, or
Johnny Youngblood, who sent in the books that we use every week.
Yeah. Man, the people who have sent Twitter DMs or who like the posts on Instagram or...
Yeah,
have just done anything to make us feel connected to you as the listeners. Like, that has been something that... Yeah, just even... This show was always something that we were making for us, but there were times at which it was hard, and having you there, knowing that there were people who cared about this and enjoyed it, like, gave so much motivation to doing it.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I'm just, like, forever grateful for that. This thing became way more than it had any right to be, or than I ever expected it to be. You guys have walked through this over a long period of time with us in just like some just unexpected ways. Like it truly,
I mean, think about the pandemic bump to the podcast.
Yeah.
And everything that, like, you know, when at least for me, when everything was falling apart with college and everything like that, and the world shut down, and I'm stuck in a tiny house filled with people, and this was, like, the one thing that, like, this was actually going well. This was on the up and up. This kept me going in many instances and gave me something consistent to look forward to. Yeah, I wrote something a little bit. I'll just read it because it's easier for me to do that than wax poetic. I'm so unbelievably thankful for the show and the fact that any amount of people would care enough to consistently tune in to listen to what myself and Dylan have to say. It's been a lifeline to me throughout much of the chaos of the last 5 years. You know, I've been through high school, college, graduation. High school graduation, college graduation, you know, switching majors, in and out of relationships, all of the chaos that comes with growing up, the show has been here for me. And it takes three, you know, it takes the listener and Dylan and me all together to make this special thing happen. And I just am so unspeakably grateful for all of it. I can't thank Dylan or the Chalk Squad enough. I genuinely love you all. Thank you for being a part of my life so consistently for the past 5 years. No matter how long between episodes, I will never, even if I want to, be able to forget this incredible experience that we've had together. So, just thank you to Dylan, to everybody that's listened. Nobody could have prepared us for everything that we went through from the beginning of this to now. And it feels so beautiful to end it this way, you know? Me and Dylan were talking about it, but he started this show when he was just out of college, and I started the show just going into college, and now, you know, Dylan's promoted and thriving in adulthood, and I'm just entering into the workforce as, like, a full-time salaried employee, and so much of life has grown and changed alongside this podcast, and it's going to be pretty darn impossible for me to separate this period of my life from the show, so thank you.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To quote the great poet Connie Kendall, ditto what he said, but about me and not you.
Exactly. No, I just, yeah. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to all the fun that we'll still have, and I love making stuff and making podcasts and stuff. So, yeah, be on the lookout for whatever's next, because knowing me and Dylan, we won't be away for too long.
Yeah. Man, thanks, buddy. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a privilege.
I do have one more thing I gotta get through logistics-wise.
Do we have one more 5-star review?
Wouldn't be me. No. That would be... Look, keep them coming. We'll do an episode...
Of just every 5 reviews, you get an episode.
Oh, man. No, I just wanted to address the bonus feed of our show, which will be permanently disbanded, but then all those episodes will be made public here with the closing of this show. So, all those episodes will be made public. So you guys get to, if you weren't a subscriber, go back and enjoy some of that, just absolute chaos.
Yeah.
That
was so much fun.
And I also just want to take this moment to, shout out all of the people who supported us, during that year. Mm-hmm. It just... Thank you so much to Tess, to Abby, to Ben, to Stephanie, to Nathaniel, to Johnny, and to Grace. It really means the world that you jumped in on that absolute, yeah, just fever dream, even for a month. That was just a really, yeah, in just
it was a life-changing experience.
Another way that, yeah, we just felt loved and supported unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And yeah, also huge shout out to anyone who ever bought our dumb merch.
Yeah. Huge shout out. Venmo for sheep, still available on TeePublic.
Yeah. Yep. If you've been itching for a Venmo for sheep shirt, you can still get one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's now a I love my barking tree frog shirt,
which is incredible. Like some of our best work, and by our I mean Michaela's.
I mean I designed that one.
Oh, you did that one.
But also Michaela deserves all the credit. Sorry. And yeah, I mean for that matter, shout out to all of our guests.
Yeah. Huge shout out.
Like that. Yeah.
The voice of Chris, Nathan.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Nathan Haverstick, who has been on a longer hiatus than us.
Yeah.
Just because I stopped asking him to do it.
not because of anything personal.
Not because of anything personal, and not because he was no longer willing, but no. Just that I decided, like, I'm done trying to keep up to date with this.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, a huge shout out to our one and only Chris. To also shout out to Brendan Acebo, our Paul McCusker for one or two episodes back in the day.
For all parental warnings.
Yeah.
Gotta love him.
You know, and then the whole Acebo family.
Yeah. Yeah,
man.
Shout out to Balin and Elena, our certified youngest listeners. I hope you hear this.
Oh man.
Know that I love you.
Yeah. It's been such a delight. So with all that being said, we will be back someday with some episode. Bye guys.
Farewell.
Godspeed.
May the force be with you.
Toodaloo.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
Catch you later, losers.
Quote Bojack Horseman. Suck a dick, dumb shit.
Uh...